This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Resource Centre. I'm Frida Liu. And today's guest is Professor Dr. Mushtaq Al-Attabi, the Dean of Taylor School of Engineering. Welcome back. And the other time you were back for Tech Talk, so now it's Resource Centre. And today we're talking about MOOC, the Massive Open Online Course. And it's a relatively new concept. What's it all about?
Well, this is a course that's offered by a university. And the university chooses to make the course available online to any students for free of charge anywhere in the world. So that's why it's massive, it's open, it's online. So the courses are taught on campus normally, and they are recorded, video recorded, and then the records are made available online so that those students who are registered for it, they could have access to that. On top of this, this is offered normally through a platform that enables the students to interact, attend tests, submit assignments and things like that, and get feedback on their on the work as well. So they got as close experience to being on campus as possible.
You know, when I first looked at it, I said, "Ah, isn't this just distance learning?"
Actually, it's not. The distance learning is whereby students come to a university and then he or she will be registered, required to pay certain fees. There is a process in which the student is going to apply and get assessed and need to achieve certain entry qualification. All these things are not needed. You are the judge as a student to see whether this course is suitable for you or not. And you are the judge to decide whether you continue or not. And it is for free.
For free?
Yes.
Okay. And I want to talk about that. For free, why are we doing this for free? But even with this whole concept, you know, who started this? You know what I mean? And is this happening with other universities as well?
That's right. The from a historical point of view, the first massive open online course, as I defined it, was offered by the University of Manitoba in 2008. And a few thousand people joined that course. Now, the concept really picked up in 2011 when the University of Stanford in the United States offered an artificial intelligence course to the entire world. And to their surprise, around more than 200,000 people, around actually 250,000 people, joined that course, and around 20% ended completing the course successfully and getting a certificate of completion from Stanford. So after this, other people, other universities paid attention to this, and also investors started to see that this could be a movement. So both MIT and Harvard developed their own platform through which they are offering a number of massive open online courses, and also other investors who, for private sector, developed some platforms where universities can rent sort of and offer their services to the world.
All right. And how interactive is this then?
Well, to my mind, a massive open online course and a traditional course is as interactive as the lecturer that runs it. So if you are a dynamic person and you are a technology savvy as a lecturer, I believe you will be able to make it very, very interactive, because now through the technology, we could almost bring the online students to the classroom.
Right.
Yeah.
So when did you all start this?
The
massive online course, I mean, with this whole concept, is already running already? It's up and running already?
It's running definitely. Most of the, a number of universities in the United States are running it, and Australia. But in Malaysia, we are doing that currently for a course that I do personally teach. And the course is called Entrepreneurship.
Right.
So the course is offered for the engineering students. But the content is really suitable for anyone. So we thought maybe this is a good idea to start with. So what we did, we 4 years ago, 4 weeks ago is the time when we started offering it online. And currently we have close to 1,002
already?
Students from all over the world. Yes.
Serious?
From 115 different countries. Yes.
In the last 4 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. Now, your course is available in short, what, 6 to 12 weeks. So what sort of qualification does MOOCs offer?
The those students on campus will definitely get the credit for the course that they are doing. But for those online, we are offering them a certificate of completion. But this requires that they really attend the course mm-hmm. and do all the assignments and the exams that we are doing. So at the end of it, they will get a cert from Taylor's University saying that they have completed the massive open online course.
So you've had over 1,000 students from 115 countries,
that's
you say.
Right.
Like from far and wide, you know, like from where, what kind of stories are you getting? What sort of people are taking up these courses?
Well, we have people from all different continents. So we have North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, and Australia, and New Zealand. So all are covered. Some of the stories that I remember are the people who really joined on the very beginning, even before we start the course, because we made it available, the advertisement for it, a couple of weeks before we start. And there is a lady who works for a company in Italy, and she... The company is for air traffic control, and she was very interested in our course because her company just so happened to have a contract with KLIA, and she wanted to know more about the Malaysian way of doing things. Another lady from the United Kingdom, she runs a charity business for families with special children, and she was worried about the sustainability of the business, and she thought that's a good idea to take some course about entrepreneurship, and she Googled us and she found about this, and she has joined. A gentleman from Zambia who has the dream of selling the semi-precious stones in Zambia on the world market, and it's really touching because he told me that he lives on less than $2 a day.
Wow.
Yet he really makes sure that you know, he attends the course, and internet over there is considered a bit expensive. So he says that, you know, sometimes he doesn't eat just to save the money so that he could pay for the internet fees to watch the course and get involved in that. These are the stories that really touched me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll have them with me for the rest of my life.
Okay, so at the moment it is free, right? No, what's in it for the Taylor School of Engineering at the end of the day? We'll get your answer on that in just a moment. Professor Dr. Mushtaq Al-Attabi, Dean of Taylor School of Engineering, talking about massive online open courses in Resource Center, BFM 89.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Resource Center. Frida Liu here. Professor Dr. Mushtaq Al-Attabi from the Dean of Taylor School of Engineering. They're offering the massive online open courses there, and it is basically education that's free, and massive is the idea. Everybody can do this. And so the school started this 4 weeks ago, and now you have about 1,200 people from 115 countries, you say. And it's free. So what is it? What's in it for Taylor School of Engineering?
Well, you see, to be an educator, you would like to share. And I think we are, in a way, trying to pay back to the community, not only in the country, but worldwide. Now, on another end, at Taylor's, we see our purpose is to educate the youth of the world to take their productive places as leaders in the global community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the students are at Taylor's, how do I bring the global community to them so that they could practice their leadership activities and develop their leadership style? So what we did, we made sure that a feature of our massive open online course, that the students need to work on projects, and these projects have to be done in teams, and each team has to have students from the online and the on-campus community. So for the on-campus students, it's a requirement that there'll be 2 students from on-campus and 3 to 5 students from the online community. Now, this is a very diverse community, very rich community, people from all walks of life and with all sorts of qualifications. So my students now, after they develop a project idea, they will need to go online and recruit suitable participants to join them. And then They develop a business plan and they move on into creating, hopefully, at least a business idea that will end up at the end of the semester with a presentation to the venture capitalist. Mm. But my hope is at least some of these ideas that we worked on and developed for almost 14 weeks will really become a real project that will add value to the world and to the people who started it.
Right. Okay. You talk about the University of Manitoba, and then there's Stanford and Harvard, and these people getting involved. Are they monetizing it already? Do you see it being this whole thing being monetized?
Well, it's not yet. As a matter of fact, the business model is yet to be clear. Hmm. But from a branding point of view, there is definitely a value. The Australian universities, the people that I speak to, they told me that in such a world that everyone is competing for the best students and the best minds, offering their courses online is, in a way, a tool to attract the students, to mm-hmm. make them aware of how great the university is and how good the professors are. So as charging money for a MOOC, I don't think this is going to be done in such a direct way. Mm. Because this MOOC is just like your Gmail. If they ask you to pay for it, I think you will stop and you go and do something else. So I believe that this will remain like that, but there will be always ideas maybe to make money some other way.
Right, so it won't be such a straightforward way of monetizing. It's going to come in other areas.
That's what I think, yes.
Okay, so yeah. And the other thing as well, and do you see, because it is free, that you have students dropping out?
Yes, oh. Yes. Actually, I'm fine with students dropping out. If you think about it, we've customized so many things. You can customize your clothes, your pizza, your car. But education is not customized, is not personalized. You go to a classroom and then you will have to listen to a lecturer who will speak to you. Mm. And maybe you are different from the person next to you. So the MOOC is actually an opportunity for us to personalize learning. And if I join a course and I think that this course is not suitable for me, I think the best thing is to drop out. So, and at the end of the day, it really is about the quality that we are providing the students. So when the students online, they join the course for a reason, I believe. So if they it's the outline that you put, sometimes it's the title. Now, if they are seeing value, they will stick around. If they are not, I think they shouldn't waste their time as well.
Right. Okay. Now, I understand that you have a module on entrepreneurship at an MOOC platform named Class Central.
Yeah. Actually, it's called Open Learning.
Open Learning, yeah.
Yes. So this is an Australian company. Mm-hmm. It's a very dynamic company. I'm working very closely with them. They're very young people. And you could go to openlearning.com and look at the platform. It's very similar to Facebook. So the whole course becomes like a forum where you could upload your assignment. People have a look at it. People could like it and give you comments. And it's amazing. You know, to me, the most popular page that I've created on my module is this. It's called Brain Rewiring.
Okay.
And the whole idea of our approach to entrepreneurship is that the resources are there. They are waiting for an entrepreneur to unlock them. So it's not like when I have the resources, I'll be an entrepreneur. No, the resources are there. So that's a very romantic and positive and optimistic way of doing things. And normally, if someone tells you, think positive, it's sometimes easier said than done. Mm-hmm. And the brain needs to be rewired to be positive, because we are wired to look for danger.
Yes.
and look for the negative aspects of the life. So on that page, every participant is required, as he or she wakes up from sleep, to mention three things that he or she is grateful for today. And they need to report them online. Now, in the beginning, people start to feel like this is a bit awkward, but slowly you know, they became so addictive that people can't wait to start reporting the things that they are grateful for. Now, the research says if you remember positive things systematically for about 3 weeks, physical change will happen in your brain. And that physical change will lead you to be able to identify opportunities and see the positive aspect of things. Now, imagine if you do this for 14 weeks. I think the impact is going to be great. So every 2 or 3 hours, I go and read all these positive things because I have students on all the time zones. So I sleep. When I wake up, I find like 50 students reported 150 things that they are grateful for. And it's amazing how grateful bunch we grew to be. So it's an interesting part of the course. And there are some, you know, one of my students, she told me that she forced her husband to get registered specifically so that he reports his the stuff that he's grateful for every day.
And there's something that the students are attempting to do as well. What, a million,
Right, yeah. So I have a group of students. They are from Europe and Philippines. So they put together a team. And they really like the idea of brain rewiring. And they saw the impact. One of them, she wrote to me and said, I walked into the company. Her name is Ilana. She's from Spain. I walked into the company and the receptionist said, Ilana, you are a very positive person. And she said, that was out of the blue. So I guess that the brain rewiring is working. So they thought, you know, inside our course, we have only 1,000 plus participants. So how do we spread the message? So what they are planning to do is to create a movement in which 1,000,001 human beings on Earth is going to pledge to rewire their brains and be positive people. Now, in return, they are asking Taylor's University to offer a scholarship for one student that will be chosen through the same platform. So they are thinking of maybe Facebook, where people will put their applications as short videos. And those who will have more likes, we will pick maybe the top 10 to be interviewed by someone from Taylor's. Now, we haven't accepted that yet because the students told me to speak about this on radio. We haven't accepted this yet, but the team is going to present this to the Taylor's management. And if Taylor's management accepts it, then they will go and run with it and they will rewire 1,000,001 brains.
And it's brilliant. A million people being positive.
Definitely.
You know, what a change in the world. Now, what future do you see for MOOCs in Malaysia?
Well, Malaysia is trying to be an educational hub. And I think we are putting a lot of investment and the country has really great universities, great infrastructure and great professors. And I believe MOOCs could be one of the avenues in which we tell the world how great education in Malaysia is. So you just imagine if we can have 5-10 massive open online courses, maybe one in economics, the other one in engineering, the other one in psychology, and we pick our best professors, the most inspiring people to deliver that MOOC, whereby people from different parts of the world, if they are considering Malaysia as a destination to complete their undergraduate study, they could actually attend and then they can have a first-hand kind of experience of what the country has to offer. I think through that, we will be able to attract even more people and more students to complete their degrees here. So this is actually one of the ways that I see if a systematic approach to it is done and supported maybe by the government. And the government is very supportive. They spend a lot of money on education and and they give grants for research and things like that.
Okay. Very interesting project. You know, we do wish you all the best and the university as well. I've been speaking to Professor Dr. Mushtaq Al-Attabi, Dean of Taylor School of Engineering. This is Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.